The Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
In this week's episode, David Lloyd's Radio Moments, news with Stuart Clarkson, and the new editor of Radio 1 Newsbeat. Thank you for finding the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan. So, do young audiences want news bulletins or news programmes? How can music stations engage young people in the era of smartphones and social? And how does Newsbeat's new editor feel about becoming one of the highest profile BAME staff in British radio? Some of the topics I covered with Debbie Ramsey.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
So congratulations, Debbie. What does it actually mean being confirmed as editor and not just acting editor?
It just gives me and the team some more stability, and we're really excited going forward that now it feels like it's mine to take where I want to take it, or where we want to take it, really. So it isn't doing anything drastic from what we've started doing months ago. It's just going forward and ramping it up and really taking the, what do you say, bull by the horns.
I spoke to Louise Compton, your predecessor, and I think still your boss when she took over this role. And she was saying that she felt that the previous incarnation of Newsbeat hadn't really understood young people, and that the view that they could only be shouted at in short kind of gobbits and that they had no attention span was rubbish. And she wanted to let the show breathe a bit more. Is that the direction that you want to take it in as well?
Yeah, and I think it works, and it's been proven to work on the right topics. That's not to say that sometimes we don't have a programme whereby there are a few more bits in it, and a few more stories in it, but we do things like have one-themed shows now quite a lot. So, for example, kind of things like Leicester, Hillsborough last week, when it needs it, we do kind of consolidate and actually let the material breathe. And also listening to our listeners in terms of if we've done a story in a shorter form and we have a massive response to it, such as a couple of months ago, there was a story about children with alcoholic parents. And we had such a massive response to that, that actually a couple of months later, we did a whole programme on it, speaking to a teenager and her mother, and speaking to a guy who couldn't stop drinking despite what his kids were telling him. And we really, really explored the subject and talked about the psychology behind having a parent who has a drinking problem. It was really strong stuff.
We're always being told, aren't we, Debbie, that young people don't listen to the radio and aren't interested in the news, and that they get all their information from social media. What's the role now for a 15-minute news programme on a youth network twice a day?
It's absolutely kind of what I just mentioned, really, really exploring the topics that young people care about. And we do still get engagement on the radio, and we still get texts in, and we still get responses from people who are on social media who are also listening to the radio. So it's just about not thinking about it in such a linear fashion. So you want to think about, I certainly, and we think about our audience as not just being radio. It's all joined up in the same way as Radio 1 does. So it's all joined to our YouTube channel, our Twitter pages, our Facebook pages, our Instagram pages, our Snapchat. And when we mention things on air, we can actually see the response on social media. So they are interlinked.
So what does this mean on the floor in the office? Does this mean that all the journalists working for Newsbeat are, in effect, multi-platform, multimedia journalists?
Yeah, but they have been that way for at least 3 or 4 years, I would say. I mean, it's been a long time since we've just been a radio programme, a very long time. And everybody's embraced it in the sense that, especially for online, you can be so creative and get into depth of certain subjects a lot more, in a lot more of a creative way. So, and I'm not just talking about frivolous subjects or entertainment news, which can be a bit lighter. I'm talking about things like one of our most popular pieces that we did in the last few months was the Chinese economy explained in colour pencil drawings. And it just flew. People were spending a lot of time in there. So there is that need and is filling that need sometimes in a different way to what you hear on the radio.
There was always some tension in my day at Radio 1 between Newsbeat and the network because Newsbeat was part of News. I wonder to what extent nowadays you and your staff feel part of Radio 1 and to what extent you're part of, you know, the BBC News operation.
Yeah, well, we're working really closely with Radio 1 at the minute, especially on our short-form documentaries. So we are producing 12 to 15 minute documentaries for the Radio 1 iPlayer channel, which we work with them on. We work with them at gaming conventions. We've worked with them really well in the past. And I think it's about just talking, and we do talk a lot more than maybe we have in the past. So that seems to be going really well. We're helping produce audio documentaries as well. And it just seems to have progressed to a new level and a level of understanding just by talking more, really. And going forward, we would want to be still working in that way. With regards to BBC News, I think that's also improved as well in terms of when I took over planning, I really, really made a conscious effort of getting our stuff, our stories and young people's stories out to the rest of the BBC so that when people think of young people's issues or stories, they think of us and come to us and pick up the phone to Newsbeat, which happens more and more and more. You'll see our journalists appearing on World TV, on the News Channel, on Breakfast, on the 6, on the 10, on Today. You know, it's really about making sure you are talking to everybody and getting people's stories out there. And it might be that we sell things in a slightly different way to how it would appear on Newsbeat, because it is a different audience, but it is still a valid story for all those audiences out there.
With your appointment, Debbie, you're now one of the highest profile BAME people on the BBC staff. Is that going to be any kind of distraction for you? Are you going to find yourself having to turn up at lots of representation meetings?
No, I do my job and I do it well. And I think that is the biggest and most effective thing I can do. I just turn up at the important meetings regardless. And that, to me, has more of an effect than turning up to a specialist meeting, so to speak. If I'm there at the table with everybody else, then that's saying something without even saying something.
And when you look around the office and you look at your staff at Newsbeat, do you see the same sort of representation as you would when you leave the building and, you know, walk off down Regent Street?
I don't think there's many places that do see that. I think we're okay, but everywhere could obviously do more to hit that representation. I mean, we do have people in the office who do.
And what advice, Debbie, would you give to young journalists who want to make it these days? You know, they're being barged around by winds which tell them that they can't just do radio or just do television or just do print. They've got to learn all these skills. What's the best way, do you think, to look forward to being, you know, the Debbie Ramsey of 10 years' time?
I think it's don't worry about it too much, because a lot of the skills that people think that everybody has to learn are just natural and inherent these days. So if you're a young journalist, you already know how to do social media. You already know how to do an element of filming. So you're actually at an advantage. So it is, if you care about stories and you care about the news and you want to tell those stories, then I think if you don't focus too much on, OK, but I need to be able to do this, that and the other, because you'll probably find you've got better skills at that than a lot of people. You just focus on your passion, really, and have your goals and keep pursuing them. Be persistent.
Good advice at any time. Debbie Ramsey, editor of BBC Radio 1 Newsbeat. Thank you very much for talking to Radio today.
Okay, thank you, Trevor.
Debbie Ramsey is the new editor of Radio 1 Newsbeat. And just a word about some of our future guests on this podcast. We'll be talking to award-winning breakfast hosts Sam and Amy soon about their 10 years on air. We're going on a tour of Global's HQ in Leicester Square. We're looking into why community radio now has two rival award schemes. And we'll be at the Commercial Radio Arkiva Awards. So lots to come in subsequent weeks. But here's this week's news with Stuart Clarkson.
Yeah, thank you, Trevor. This week's big stories from radiotoday.co.uk. BBC Radio 1 Extra is getting a new breakfast show, and it becomes the second national station with a solo female presenter at breakfast. A Dot, real name Ashley Charles, takes over from Twin B and Yasmin. Yasmin moves to weekday afternoons, while Twin B will do the Saturday afternoon show on the station. UK Ideas announced plans for a local radio day at the end of the month. Friday, 27th of May, we'll see the group's 15 stations get together to celebrate the impact of what the group calls proper local radio. UKRD is inviting other local stations around the country to join in with the day as well. Capital's summertime ball at Wembley Stadium on the 11th of June has now sold out. Global says 80,000 tickets have been sold for the gig, which will feature acts including Zayn Malik, will.i.am, Nick Jonas and Craig David. Bruno Brooks's Immedia has done a deal to bring in-store radio to Subway franchises across seven European countries, including the UK and Ireland. The stations will be available for the more than 3,000 outlets to subscribe to at £10 a month. And the first smartphone to be able to receive DAB transmissions has gone on sale in the UK this week. The LG Stylus 2 was demoed at Radio Days Europe back in March. You can get one for about £220 on pay-as-you-go or on a contract for about £20 a month. And you can get the latest radio industry news every hour on our online station, In Radio, as well as at radiotoday.co.uk. That's it for this week. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Radio Moments. Radio Moments.
We start this week in 1977 and a new programme began on Radio 4. The Today programme was split, and two editions of a new show called Up to the Hour were inserted into the gaps. Libby Purvis hated the idea, as did quite a few others, and she remembers how the great announcer Peter Donaldson did his level best to sort things out.
It was a load of old floor sweepings. It was old bits of comedy records, unbelievably tedious extended trails.
And flute music.
Bits of nothing, little pointless bits of music. And we all hated this. The Today programme team, I was a reporter then, we were injured by this. We were full of stories we needed to tell, and there was no space to tell them because of Up to the Hour wasting people's morning. And Peter, obviously, being a thinking man, felt the same way. And one morning, he ran through everything that was on all the other networks, Radio 2, Radio 3, and then sort of said, sadly, still, you know, if you're stuck with Radio 4, I'm afraid it's Up to the Hour.
Libby Purvis, and can you imagine that now, messing with the Today programme? 1993 now, and this week saw the launch of Britain's second national commercial radio station.
Well, good afternoon. This is Richard Skinner. We are now live in Studio One Golden Square in the heart of Soho, and this is the Radio Revolution. From now on, it's for real. Virgin 1215 is the UK's first new national pop and rock station in more than 25 years. From this moment, Virgin 1215 promises to deliver Britain's best music mix 24 hours a day.
Much more music, Virgin 1215.
So let the music play.
The launch of the original Virgin, now Absolute, 33 years ago on the old Radio 3 and Radio 1 medium wave frequencies. It's 30 years now since Capital Radio trialled the idea of splitting off its AM from its FM.
1 minute from now, Capital Radio will split.
For the first time ever, different programmes will be broadcast simultaneously on Capital's AM and FM frequencies.
If your radio is tuned to Capital on 1548 AM, after the 10 o'clock news, you'll hear Sax on Sunday with John Sax.
If your radio's tuned to Capital on 95.8 FM, you'll hear Capital's new Sunday station, CFM, in super stereo.
Almost all radios can pick up Capital on both AM and on FM. For information on how to retune, call 01
388.
It was all very dramatic, wasn't it? The first trial Capital AM FM experimental split for weekends only, long before they created gold. John Sachs was on AM and Roger Scott was on FM, and we think those guys were both sober at the time, unlike Lord Haw Haw.
Germany will live. No coercion. No oppression. No measures of tyranny that any foreign foe can introduce. Germany will live.
The last show for Lord Haw Haw this week in 1945. His broadcasts were aired on transmitters across Europe, including on Radio Luxembourg's. And after some rather belated post-show coaching 7 months later, he was hanged. Thankfully, the penalty was lesser when James Whale went that little bit too far with the matter of the London mayoral elections.
Well, it has to be...
Don't, you're not allowed to say.
Say what?
Who you should vote for.
What was I... How do you know what I was going to say?
Well, I know what you're going to say.
Boris Johnson. What?
Did you say something?
What? I didn't say anything.
Boris Johnson. Did you...
Well, no, I didn't say anything. I'm not allowed to say who to vote for in the London mayoral elections. It's wrong.
Well, no, of course not.
Boris Johnson.
The great James Whale on TalkSport this week in 2008 with his voting tips. This week, 25 years ago, there was some hot news for Radio 1.
From this Wednesday, 1FM is your 24-hour station. From midnight till morning, we'll bring you the best music and the latest news. This is Bob Harris, and from this Wednesday, I'll be on midnight to 4, Monday to Thursday. Then it's Andy Peebles on Friday night. At the weekend, 1FM's newest voice, Neil James, will see you through the night from 2 till 4. Night and day from this Wednesday. 24-hour Radio 1.
Memories of this week in 91, and after 24 years of existence, Radio 1 flicked that 24-hour switch and opened up.
And now, for the very last time.
And never closed down again. It wasn't the first station to go 24 hours, and it certainly wasn't the first to use that Commodore's track on the promo for so doing. When BBC Cambridgeshire launched, it was on air for just a few hours each day. It launched on the 1st of May 1982, and what time was that?
Well, the time is now 1 minute to nine. This is Prelude with Gina Madgett and Nigel Turner. We've nearly gone, but in just 1 minute's time, BBC Radio Cambridgeshire will be officially opened by the chairman of the BBC, George Howard. We'll be going live to the opening ceremony, where the events will be described for us by our commentator, Joe Dobry, as the BBC's 25th local radio station starts broadcasting officially on 96 stereo VHF and on the medium wave band on 1026 and 1449 kilohertz.
Good old VHF. And that programme title as well, Prelude. BBC Local Radio excelled in programme titles, didn't it? On Cambridgeshire we had, what do we have? The Light Programme with Anne Bristow. We also had Home Service with good old Gina Madgett. Wavelength with Andy Graham. And Sunday Company as well. Don't you just love it? 50 years ago this week, another pirate station took to the air from a wobbly ship in the North Sea.
Here are the kids on Swingin' Radio England.
We have a few things here we'd like to give you. Just a preview of the new sound which will be coming your way on Swingin' Radio England, where the action is.
Swingin' Radio.
That's my sort of test transmission, is that, just playing through the whole jingle rag. That's the way to do it. The start of Swinging Radio England to be an early home for Roger Day. And alongside Britain Radio, it started broadcasting from the same ship anchored off the south coast this week in 1966. It's 2 years this week already since Heart grew again, taking over duties from the real stations.
Heart is coming to the Northwest at 6 a.m.
Hi, this is Toby Anstis. I'll be here every weekday morning on Heart, your new radio station. Join me from 10 for more music variety and your chance to win £100,000 with our big money game, Who's on Heart?
Heart expanding this week in 2014, growing the brand's reach to 9.3 million and becoming the biggest commercial radio station in the United Kingdom. So with the name BBC World Service, introduced 51 years ago.
BBC World Service. We're now closing on 15.22 megahertz.
Dave Lee Travers starting Radio 1 Breakfast 38 years ago.
You're listening to the Dave Lee Travers Show on Radio 1.
And the new BBC studios at Savoy Hill officially opened 93 years ago.
We are not going to stop broadcasting.
Broadcasting has come to stay.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd, Stu Clarkson, researcher Hayley Hayes, and our guest Debbie Ramsey. Back next week with an inside look at Global Radio's HQ. This has been a TDC production. Thanks for listening.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.